We're going to talk seriously about how do you get through your day? Because I love to talk about going to heaven. I love to talk about the chance, well, what Jesus did for us so we could go to heaven. I love that. You hear me. And if you know me, you know that's right. You know I like to talk about that. And to hear that somebody's about to make that transition, that graduation, that exit from here and entrance into there, man, that I love that thought, and I long for that. I like that. I kind of envy her for that, you know. I'd love to be making that journey. But I also know that today there are things that happen during your day that keep your mind. You can't go around thinking about going to heaven every day all the time. I heard a guy say it, man, it made such good sense to me. He said, sometimes we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. You know, if you constantly walk around with your head, Lord, take me home, Lord, take me home, Lord, take me home, you bump into things, you run over things, policemen come get you and put you in a home. I mean, there's bad things can happen to you. But these words that help you get through the day, and it's what we're going to study now, and if you got your Bible, go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Now, if you're just getting started, go to the back of your Bible. Go to the find the maps, and then back up and go left. And you'll find 1 Peter. If you get into a bunch of red letters, you've gone too far. Go the other way.
Earlier, I was thinking about my dad, and I was thinking the same thing that you just said. By the time my dad passed away, he kept saying that my mom kept calling me, and said, it's about time, come on. And my mom was, he was ready. And I talked to him today, and it was basically about the same thing.
Yeah. Good. The man who wrote these words, let me get my focus back again and get us focused on the text. The man who wrote these words walked with Jesus. He got to see him with his eyes, got to touch him with his hands, and he knows him in a way that I don't. And so I love reading stories about this man as he walked with Jesus. But I also like to read the words that this man wrote after Jesus had gone back to heaven and he had a chance to say to folks like us, remember? Folks that are elect and folks that are strangers, you remember those phrases? Folks that were chosen, look at the first chapter 1, and those folks that the Spirit's working on, that's us. He wrote these words for us. I love that. I love the fact that he wrote these words. And I put it to you this way. He wrote these words to help us get through the day. With the intent being, not just, you know, paying the bills, getting the job, you know, having a family. Those are good things. Those are good things. And he's going to address those things here. But I'm talking about making it through tough times. He's going to help us get through the day through some tough times, but it's going to be with the intent that one of these days, and it will not be long, one of these days we will get to go home. All right, and you've read it. Well, look at verse 13. That's where we're going to start studying. Let's just study. All right. The first word in the verse, my Bible says, therefore. Any time in your Bible study you read that word, therefore, you better stop and go look at what went before, right? Look at what he says before this, before he says therefore. So tell me what he means when he says therefore here. Therefore what? Therefore, what happened before? What did he tell us before? This is review, and I don't usually make you review on Wednesdays because you're not brain dead, but you're damaged and bruised, I understand. It's been a long week, been a tough day. What has he told us before this that he's going to build on? We're shielded by God's power. Do you remember? There were at least five things he talked about. You remember, we have a new birth. We get a chance to start all over again. Number two, a living hope. It doesn't die. It doesn't change with time or place. Give me the next one. We have an inheritance that will not fade. It will not spoil. And we are shielded by God's power, and we are going to get one day a monster, amazing salvation. Now, do we get salvation when we start to follow Jesus? Yes, we get our sins forgiven. But there is a salvation to the max. Ultimate salvation is when it's all over, and He gets rid of all sin, and He gets rid of all of the enemies, and He takes us home. That's coming. Therefore, now look what He says, because all of that is yours in Jesus, therefore, now I didn't write this, y'all. I didn't write this, but the older I get, the longer I live, this means a bunch to me. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Underline it, circle it, memorize it, and notice these words. Prepare. Prepare means what? Get ready. In my old Bible, you say, gird up the loins of your mind. I have no idea what that means, but that's what it said. And I think it said, prepare your mind, is what he was saying. What does it mean to prepare? Think, and yeah, I know we said get ready. Give me some more. Think it. Think a minute. Get to prepare. To get ready.
Plan.
Prepare. Be intentioned about getting ready. What else? All right, you get all the stuff. If you're going to cook something, you get all the ingredients out, or make sure you have all the ingredients, because you don't want to. You don't want to start something and get in the middle of it and not be able to finish, so you go throw Bisquick in just to give it filler. You don't want to do that. No, you don't want to do that. All right, now, prepare your minds. Now, look what he says. Get yourself ready. And who's responsible? I want you to notice this. This is not your mama, not your daddy, not your brother, your sister, not your wife, nor your husband. This is not your kids, not your boss. It says you prepare your minds. Your minds. You're responsible. I'm responsible for getting me ready. Now, I'm about to say something that is my... I'm using an illustration. So this is not the Word of God. This is just my illustration. I have long not understood men and women who come to me and they talk about, well, I have to go wake my husband up in the morning, and he gets mad when I keep trying to wake him up and he won't wake up. I'm not going to look up at anybody because I don't want anybody getting embarrassed, but I'm a grown man. I don't need somebody to wake me up. My wife is not my mama. Your wife is not your mama. Your roommate is not your mama. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not going to look at anybody. You can get yourself up in the morning. Now, that's taking personal responsibility. I dress myself. I brush my own teeth. I take care of my personal hygiene and other things. I'm telling you, I know how to do. Well, he says I'm supposed to do that with my mind. Now, notice that. Prepare your mind. That means that you can prepare your mind. Now, be honest. We talk a lot about it here, so I recognize it in us. A lot of us have been raised and or have become addicted to reaction. You wake up in the morning, man, I'm not feeling good. And so you don't feel good all day long. Are you? And I'm not talking about physically, you know what I mean. Or you wake up in the morning and you're grouchy. Heard a guy say it the other day, looked right at me and said, man, I was mean to my wife today, and I was mean to my kids. I said, what's the matter? I said, well, I woke up grouchy. Well, the old joke is, don't wake her up. Get up by yourself. Don't wake up grouchy. Since my wife is not here, I can get by with that. All right. And if I want her to know I said it, I will tell her, okay? What's said in here stays in here, right? The point is, this guy, and we've done it. We talk about it. We wake up feeling a certain way, and that determines how we act and how we react for the rest of the day. Folks, Jesus speaking through a man who understood what it was like to ride the roller coaster of emotion. said, prepare your mind for action. I wake up irritable. I need to get my head right. I need to make up my mind and prepare my mind. I'm not going to act that way. I may still feel that way. I may not be able to control the feeling, but I can control my actions. I may not be able to control the feeling. I may not be able to control the emotion, but I can control my behavior. And I can control my reaction. Oh, I just couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself. I just lose it. When I'm that way, I can't help myself. That's a lie. You know how you prove it? Put yourself in that situation with your boss, with your wife, with your preacher. A long time in my life. It seemed like a long time back at that age, but compared to, I guess it wasn't all along when you lived as old as I was. But there was a significant part of my life where I had a horrible mouth. I just had a horrible mouth. And somebody would bother me or something would happen and I would just react and stuff would just fly out of my mouth. And I'd have people say, man, you need to stop talking like that. And my word was, I can't help it. Because somebody does this, man, it's going to come out. That sounded so reasonable at 16 years old. And when I got a little bit older and smarted up a little bit, you know what I figured out?
I don't say those words around my mama.
I never said it in front of my mama. I would not be alive today had I said it around my mama. I didn't say it around my mama. I didn't say it around my preacher. I didn't say it around my coaches either, because they wouldn't let it. They would talk like that all the time, but they wouldn't let us. I learned right then, well, I realized then, I'm still learning it, I realized then that I do have some control. I may not can change what the flush or rush of hormones has done to me. I may not be able to change whether I got a little sleep or a lot of sleep. I may not be able to change whether my back hurts or my neck aches. I may not be able to change those kind of things. I may not be able to change how my boss treats me or how my wife or my husband or my kids treat me, but I can decide. I can prepare my mind for action. I can wake up in the morning and say, right now, I am going to try to be this way. Now, you know that's right, because Peter said so. And Peter was telling me what Jesus taught him. Now, is there any example, real quick, make sure we understand this fella. Well, give me an example of Peter's life where his emotions got a little bit out of control and he did what he felt like doing impulsively and then ended up having to eat his own words or swallow his pride or pull his foot out of his mouth.
When Jesus was arrested in the garden, he cut off his
ear. Oh, major issue. Jesus tells him, you know, y'all go out with it. It's going to be bad stuff's going to happen to me. You get ready. And Jesus tells Peter, you're going to betray me. You know, you're going to deny me. And, you know, you're going to deny me. And the rooster's going to crow. And you're going to do it three times before the rooster crows. And Peter says, no, I'll never do that kind of thing. Even if I die, I won't do that. They came up and grabbed Jesus. What'd Peter do? Pulled out his sword and cut off the old guy. I didn't bring this up. It's his fault right there. Right, it's his fault. What's your first name again?
Matt.
I knew Matt. It's his fault. Okay. Now anyway, I was in college. I was in a Christian college, in a Bible class in Christian college, and I got to stand up to show you what this teacher was standing behind the podium, and he was teaching us from the Gospels, and he taught us the story of when the mob grabbed Jesus to take him away, and Peter pulled out his sword, and it says, you read it, I'm not making this up, that he cut the man's right ear off, okay? Let's say this is the guy and I am Peter. I would cut Rick's right ear off. Well, the teacher acts, and I'm not lying to you. I don't lie much, but I'm not lying now for sure. I'm telling you, he said, now that proves that Peter was left-handed. And I was going, left-handed? How do you know? And he said, it's like this. That man came up to Peter, grabbed Jesus, and that man took his sword. And now, folks, is that how you use a sword? No. Stop it. Quit it. That is not how you use a sword. When you use a sword for real and you're trying to fight with it, what do? It's a two-handed sword, and what you do is you swing it like this. If I swing this sword like this, Rick is going to duck, and what's going to happen? Peter was not aiming at his ear, y'all. Peter wanted to get his head. You know how I know that? Because when he missed, he started to reload. Jesus had to stop him. Oh, man, I missed him. I'll get him this time. No, no, put that sword up, boy. Did Peter know something about emotions? Did he ever jump out of a boat when he thought he could walk on water? First time he did, second time he didn't. You ever thought about that? When Jesus fixed him breakfast, and they figured out it was Jesus, Peter said, "It's the Lord." He put on his coat. Why do you put on your coat to go swimming? You don't. He thought he was going to walk on water. Boom. He swam over 100 yards in that jacket. And I bet he hated every minute of that swim. I'm telling you, Peter knew something like us. And here's what he says. Guys, I know what it's like to live in this world. And I'm telling you, you got to prepare your mind for action. Stop letting everybody else control how you feel, how you act, how you react. You do not... The guy looked at me and said, "Well, that's just the way I am. My granddaddy's that way, my daddy's that way, and that's just the way I am." And I, being not a very patient or not a very sympathetic guy, looked at him and said, "Well, your granddaddy and your daddy and you are all wrong." Because Jesus says you can control that. You prepare your mind for action. Now, my suggestion, not because I'm an example of it, I'm just telling you, I think it makes sense. In the morning, start waking up earlier than you have to get up. Because I tell you what happens. What happens, you get out of bed in a rush and you don't ever have time to think. And you just start reacting immediately. You run out of coffee. You don't have coffee. You get to the car and it's a flat tire. Ooh! And you get the tire fixed and there's no gas. And you run to the gas station. You get to the, and you got no money for gas. And you get to work and the boss says, "Well, you don't have a job." I mean, bang, 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 bang. Your life is going down the toilet. And you just think, I'm just going to give up. No, prepare your mind for action. You know what you're going to have to do today. I know when I wake up in the morning, there are some things I'm going to have to face, right? I know I'm going to have to face my boss. I know. So I prepare my mind for action. I know I'm going to have to deal with the people I work with. I know something of how they're going to act or react to me. Have I been around them before? So I know it. You know your teachers. You know your classmates. You know your boss. You know your employees. You know your family. You know your friends. You know something about what's going to... So prepare yourself. I mean, prepare yourself just like you would have a game plan. Okay, now today, when the boss says this, I'm going to smile and say, "Good morning, how are you?" I'm not going to do one of those, next time he tells me, I'll tell him what I told her, I'd tell him they told me. We do that way too much, don't we? We have those little arguments in our heads. You know what we're doing? We're practicing reacting in a way we shouldn't react. Why don't we practice the way we should act? Somebody mean to you? Smile at them. Somebody flips you off? Applaud. Somebody honks at you? Drive slower. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that one. That's maybe the wrong thing, but that's what I do. Somebody honks at me, I always go slower. I think maybe they're afraid and they're scared that I'm going to hurt myself, so I drive slower. It says, prepare your minds for action. Do you know what some of the things you're going to face? Now, do I know everything that's going to happen to me today? No. But there's a bunch of things I can prepare for. Number two, look what he says. Be self-controlled. I love that word. Don't practice it like I should, but I love that word. Are you listening to me? Self-controlled does not mean that you let yourself control you. Right? "Well, I couldn't help myself, man. I just got mad. I just go crazy when I get mad." How'd that work for you? Right? No, it means you get control of yourself. You get a hold of yourself. You don't let somebody else tell you how to behave. You don't let somebody else cause you to act in a way that you know you shouldn't. You take control. You decide. Today, when the boss makes me mad, I'm going to smile. And I did. Today, I can't always say that on Wednesday, but today I did. He popped his head in and said his little thing, intending, I believe, to insult me. And I just smiled and said, yeah, it's going good, thanks. And I kept thinking, I can't. That's not good. But I didn't say it, right? So you get control of yourself. Nobody else is in charge of you. I deal with it with parents or with marriages all the time. A wife will come in and want to tell me everything bad her husband's doing. Or a husband won't tell me what his wife is doing. And I understand, yep, that's wrong and that's wrong. Now what are you going to do? Well, I want my husband to stop that. I know, I do too. But what are you going to do? Yeah, but I want my wife to stop that. I know, me, I do too. Because I'm tired of hearing it. But what are you going to do? You get control of yourself. Now look, he gives us a hint. Look at the next one. You prepare your minds for action, you be self-controlled, and you set your hope. I love this next word. Underline it, circle it, memorize it. What's the word? Fully. What does fully mean? Completely, all the way. You set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. I don't think I can handle it another day. All you got to do is hang on to just this moment, because he may be coming. I don't think I can stay. I don't think I can last another day. I don't know if I can last another week. I don't know if I can last another month. I don't know if I can last another year. You don't have to. All you've got to do is hang on for the moment, because Jesus may be coming right now. So in those, and I wish you'd do it. You'd find it. I'm serious. It would help. When you get at a place where you just cannot handle it, just stop and look toward heaven. Is he coming yet? Is he? Because it might happen. And if it happens, y'all are going to think, ooh, that Rex knew what he was talking about. Yeah. But notice what it says. Put your hope fully. Notice, put your hope fully on Jesus. And the grace is coming when Jesus comes. I hope you can trust me. But honest, it's not about trusting me. I hope you can trust. We can trust each other. The ones that in here that know each other, I think we've proven that's possible. But don't put your hope fully. Because I guarantee you, somebody here is going to disappoint you. That's the truth. Somebody here is going to disappoint you. Somebody is going to irritate you. Somebody is going to hurt your feelings. You can't be around people and not have it happen. So what do? You put your hope fully on Jesus. I'm going to get everything Jesus wants me to have when he comes. Well, I'd sure like to have a better job. I got you. But you're going to get grace in heaven when Jesus comes. So can you hang on? That's the point. I don't have to do it a lifetime. All I got to do it is for right now. And when I just don't think I can handle it anymore, I just stop. Is he coming? I had that kind of faith when I was a little kid. I've lost a lot of it and I hate it. But when I was a little kid, I'd look at the clouds and think, maybe he's in that one. Maybe he's in that one. And I lived in a sense of every day, every cloud I saw might be him coming. You can endure a lot of stuff if you think, he may be in that cloud. You just hang on. Prepare your mind for action. Get a hold of yourself, control yourself, and keep your hope set fully on Jesus. Now this next part, I didn't write. It's not fun. As obedient children, stop. We rhyme the tape, shift the gears, grind the gears, stomp the brakes. Couple of words that we don't like there. One, and in church, let's be like little children. We all go, oh, let's be like little children. But you don't want to be children anymore. I'm telling you, just try it. Move home with your parents. If you got parents, move home with your parents. If you've been away for any length of time, 50-something years, move back home with your parents. Guess what? What time are you coming in? Of course, at my age, I was going to bed at sundown with them, you know. You start being treated like a child, and you'll resent it. If your mate starts to talk to you like a child, I'm not a child. I don't want to be treated. We don't like to be treated like children, okay? I'm not talking about anybody else treating us. This is Jesus saying we need to do this. So Jesus said, you got a problem, take it up with Jesus. He may be coming. You can go. As children, and it says obedient children. Some of us had trouble with that the first time through. Maybe a struggle that we're having right now, but we are obedient. That means we don't get to have our way. Do you ever remember when you was a kid thinking, I can't wait till I grow up, man, and I get to do things my way? Does that happen? I want to know when that happens. I'm 57 going on 85, and I'm telling you, it ain't happening. But look what it says. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, let's take 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Anybody in here want to say what it was like to make decisions based on the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance? How'd that work for you?
Not well. It was hellacious.
Hellacious. Let's get specific. It didn't work. It led to a divorce that wrecked my life. What did it do for you? Letting yourself be conformed to these evil desires, the kind of desires you had when you lived in ignorance, what did it do for you? That do addictions. What did it do for you?
17 years of a miserable relationship.
Miserable marriage. What did it do for you?
Lost your kids.
Thank God they're back. But what's it like, y'all?
Created a huge empty space.
Yeah. Anybody damage your family? Anybody ruin your reputation? Anybody in here spent time in jail? Anybody in here in so much debt you can't hardly breathe? What was it like to do what you wanted to do? You remember when you was a little kid and you wanted to do, I'm going to do what I want to. How'd that work for us? Honest, that's the reason God gave us parents, is hopefully they'd teach us out of some of this stuff. Well, now it's our turn. We got to make ourselves obedient children. Let's get back in charge. Let's get back in charge of our life. Let's quit blaming everything on everybody else. Let's quit blaming our parents. All right? And they might not have done everything right. They might have done horrible things. I hate that. Listen to me. If you know me, you know I'm not being glib. Your parents may have done horrible things to you, but they are no longer in charge of you. You are in charge. Yeah, but my mom and dad were mean. I know. I understand. Well, I can't say I understand because I didn't experience that. But I know that I'm in charge of me now. I'm in charge of me, not my parents. I'm in charge of me, not my wife. I'm in charge of me, not my husband. I'm in charge of me, not my kids. I'm in charge of me, not my boss. I'm in charge of me. I'm in charge of me. So today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be a kid and I'm going to be obedient. I'm not going to conform to the evil desires because that didn't work for me. It led to a miserable life. Miserable life. So I'm not going to go that way again. So what do you do? Look at verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, I'd love to spend time talking to you about holy. Let me give you a suggestion. I want you to change the way you spell it. By changing the way you spell holy, I think you get a better definition of than what I'd give you. Put a W. Well, let me write it up here on the board. Put a W at the front and one more L. And that's what holy means. That's what holy means. Sometimes we get a very narrow, honest, we get a very church, narrow church definition of holy, which means never do anything wrong, ever. Can't dance, cuss, drink, smoke, spit, chew, or go with girls that do. You can't do any of that. And if you tried real hard not to do anything wrong, I'm not going to do anything wrong. You end up sometimes not ever doing anything right. But he said, be holy. Holy to God. You got a job? Be an employee wholly for God. Quit looking to see where the boss is if you're going to work. Work wholly for God. You got a wife? You got a husband? Don't just treat them like they treat you. Where does that get you? There's a I think it was Gandhi who said it, and Gandhi was so wrong in so many ways. It's sometimes when we quote him, it's act like he's close to Jesus. Not anywhere close, okay? But he said, you know, this idea of, well, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said it makes the whole world blind, an eye for an eye. Okay, whatever. But that's what we've done with our mates. I'll treat you like you treat me. Guess what? Makes the whole world bruised, right? Makes the whole world miserable. I need to treat my wife, my family. I need to treat them, and I'm saying it publicly. I need to treat them wholly. Yeah, but they just don't understand me. They don't even like me. Well, I don't blame them. I know you, sir. No. Bad teacher. Holy means completely. We have lived piecemeal, part-time Christian living for too long. It's supposed to absorb all of us. The way you drive. Drive holy for God. The way you work. Work holy for God. The way you love your family. Holy for God. The way you treat your body. Holy for God. The way you deal with sin is you just do what God told you to do. You agree with God. God, what do you think about that? No? Okay. What do you think about that? Do? Okay. You always agree with God. And you give yourself wholly to Him. Now, it's interesting that it's this man that said it. And that Jesus picked this man to say it. Because Peter was wholly whatever direction he was going, right? When he got out of that boat and walked on water, he was wholly headed to Jesus. And then when he got scared and he forgot all about Jesus, he was wholly about to drown. But he was wholly. When he wanted to be saved, it wasn't, oh, that's all right, it's my mistake, I will swim back to the boat. Like some of us would have said. No, he was wholly for Jesus. Lord, save me. When he did something, he did it wholly. That's what he's saying. He's saying, get your mind ready. Get a hold of yourself. Don't forget relief is coming. What happened, what you did before didn't work, it won't work again this time either. And live yourself wholly for God. Isn't that five little simple? You notice I didn't say easy, I said simple. Five simple things. How do you get through the day? Prepare your mind for action. My suggestion is, wake up a little bit before you have to get up. Wake up a little bit before you have to get up so you have some time to prepare your mind. Now, if you want to spend that reading your Bible, that's a good thing to do. If you want to spend it praying, boy, that's a good thing to do. I don't usually read my Bible first thing in the morning, because if I started reading that early in the morning, I'd fall asleep and drool on my pages and it'd be all over. But prepare your mind for action. Get a hold of yourself. You figure out what's going to cause you trouble and you get a hold of yourself. And then, believe it, Jesus is coming and everything's going to be okay. And then stay away from the bad stuff. It messed you up the first time, it'll do it the last time. And then one more. When you, everything you do during the day, do it holy for God. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for these folks. Most right now, we thank you for your word. I confess, God, what they already know, what you already know, but I'm not an example of these things, but I want to be, God. I want us to learn that we've got to stop letting people determine how we act and how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves. So help us learn to be like Jesus this way. Would you help Rex's mom make a peaceful transfer, God? Send the angels for her to escort her home. And let his sisters and him, let them rejoice as his dad and his mom will be in that moment, along with all the angels. In Jesus, amen. Thanks, y'all. Thank you.